This is Eagle 1490 AM WLCX La Crosse and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. President Trump's 50% tariffs on steel and aluminum imports kicking in at midnight. ABC Senior White House Correspondent Selena Wang with reaction.
You can imagine that our trading partners are not happy about this because he had paused those reciprocal tariffs to allow negotiations with other countries. But as we are having these trading talks with other countries, the president then upping tariffs on a critical trading good. So we are seeing this backlash.
Two Chinese nationals are accused of smuggling a potential agro-terrorism weapon into the country. It's a fungus known to kill crops and be harmful to humans and could have had disastrous effects on agriculture. The U.S.-backed Gaza Humanitarian Foundation that had been distributing aid in Gaza will pause operations today to get multiple mass shootings of Palestinian civilians trying to get food at aid centers or trying to figure out how to make it better. A search is underway in Washington State for Travis Decker, accused of murdering his three young daughters. This is ABC News. The oldest of those hurt in the firebombing attack on a rally in Boulder, Colorado, is now home from the hospital. ABC's Trevor Ault in Boulder with more.
At least 12 people injured, including an 88-year-old woman who survived the Holocaust. She's now out of the hospital recovering.
She's an incredibly resilient person.
Rabbi Mark Soloway tells us six members of his congregation were injured in the attack.
A Jew who was targeted and burned and was lying on the ground in flames. And the image of that for our people is just something that we'll never forget.
The entire community is shaken.
The suspect, an Egyptian man being held on $10 million bond, the White House says his family could be deported soon. Part of Florida's ban on children under 14 getting social media accounts is now on hold. A federal judge barring state officials from enforcing the law while legal challenges play out. Georgia law also is being challenged. I'm Sherry Preston, ABC News.
Nightlight with Pete Schwaba.
Matt Miller, Milwaukee-based film critic. The film Sinners, the more distance I have from it, the more I liked it. Is that an Oscar film?
I think there is a love for what Sinners is doing, that a studio movie was this interesting and creative and thoughtful, but also entertaining. This is not the last you will hear about Sinners this year. I'd be shocked if it doesn't get a Best Picture nomination.
Nightlight with Pete Schwaba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Not completing high school is more of a social thing than it was an academic thing. Even though all these years have passed, I still had that longing to have my diploma.
At age 30, Carissa finished her high school diploma.
If you're even considering getting your high school diploma, you can do it.
No one gets a diploma alone. If you're thinking of finishing your high school diploma, you have help. Find free adult education classes near you at finishyourdiploma.org. That's finishyourdiploma.org. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
The Packers meet with the media. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens in Green Bay, where the Packers held press conferences after another day of OTA practices. Lucas Van Ness saying it was difficult playing defensive end all last season after suffering a broken thumb in spring practice.
I wore a full cast all the way until about week 10 or 11, I'm not exactly sure, and then kind of had some lingering issues. So I wore it most of the season, which is kind of always limited to playing on just that right side of the defensive line. So I'm excited to get back and kind of have the ability to go and play on both sides again.
Baseball, the Brewers losing last night to the Reds 4-2. After the game, Pat Murphy got more bad news. Brandon Woodruff, out since September of 2023, was pitching in his final rehab stint in Nashville when the big right-hander was hit in the elbow by a comeback hit traveling 108 miles an hour.
He took a line drive off the elbow, right elbow. The x-rays are negative from what I understand, but we want to get him. We slime back and we'll get him the CT scan and get it all checked out.
That's Pat Murphy with Sports on Mike Clemens.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
We are going to be dealing with a little more of that wildfire smoke this morning, but it's gradually going to get out of here this afternoon, and we should get a break from that for a couple of days here. Mostly sunny this afternoon, mid to upper 70s. Tonight, partly cloudy, 52 tomorrow, sunshine with a high near 77. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Outside now, it's 55.
Todd Alba.
Hey, everybody. Join us next time. Pat Kreitlow of Mornings with Pat Kreitlow will be on the show along with Trigby Olson. senior advisor at the Lincoln Project. We'll talk politics, Packers, and life. Join us.
The Todd Alba Show, weekdays 2 to 4.
Doctors Without Borders is delivering life-saving medical care where it's needed most in communities around the world. From bandaging war-wounded patients in Sudan to providing clean drinking water in Haiti, we're in more than 70 countries worldwide, bringing patients from sick to recovering, from emergency to aid, from crisis to care. This life-saving care is made possible by a global movement of supporters like you. Thank you.
Amicus, a law review with Jim Santel.
The Trump administration arresting and deporting these supposed gang members without giving them due process is one of the steps to becoming an authoritarian government.
Dale, thank you so much for the call. And again, I second all of that. Bring them all back and afford them the due process that's a part of our nation, a part of this law, and a part of our tradition in administering justice.
Amicus, a law review with Jim Santel. Saturday mornings from 9 to 11.
You're listening to The Eagle, WLCX, La Crosse's home for the
Todd Alba
Show.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
Broadcasting live from the Civic Media Studios in Green Bay, this is Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, your inside source on everything entertainment from Wisconsin to Hollywood. And now, a guy who appreciates a nice hot meal at a fair price, Pete Schwabba.
Welcome back to Nightlight, ladies and gentlemen. So great to have you with me on this Tuesday night as we start Act Two here on the show. So our first hour was packed with infotainment, folks. We talked about the nine best cities in Wisconsin, supposedly because they are the only nine mentioned in U.S. News and World Report's top 250 list. Conrad, by the way, in case you were curious, the number one city, it only took me 12 and a half hours to scroll through this list, Johns Creek, Georgia.
Huh.
How proud John must be, who probably isn't around to see the blooming of his discovered city, but it's the number one city in the entire country, which is exciting for them. Carmel, Indiana is number two. So I think I have a guest idea because we have to fill in somebody tomorrow. My friend Dave lives there. So I think we can get Dave on. He's a great comedian. Carmel, I want to say that's where David Letterman's from. But either way, our question of the night, folks, given the inspiration of the Wisconsin city list, the top nine, what is your favorite Wisconsin city, excluding the one you live in? You cannot vote for the city you live in. But what is your favorite secondary city here in Wisconsin? Let us know at 855-752-4842, and or you can text us on the app or the stream. Coming up at 7:20, some paranormal talk with paranormal investigator and Mino and the Mayor producer Todd Michaels. He'll be here. We're going to talk about lake monsters and vampires, and Todd might give us a good Gettysburg ghost story, which I didn't even know those existed. So we will do all that, and we will get back to our guest here, Rob Thomas, in just a second. We also talked about, do you call back a wrong number? I'm amazed that people do this. So maybe I'll ask Rob that when we come back. Right now, if you're not playing our promotion here at Civic Media, our Scotty Summer Text to Win contest, you really need to, folks. All you have to do is download the Civic Media app. Very easy. And then when you hear a keyword at the top of the hour, text in that keyword and you are eligible to win prizes every hour that you play. From $100 in your pocket to Milwaukee Brewers club level tickets. That's each hour. Two great prizes hourly, and you automatically enroll yourself for the grand prize drawings, which are both two amazing trips, one to Door County, Wisconsin, and one to Baraboo, Wisconsin. Beautiful Baraboo down in southern Wisconsin. And gas money is included, so if that was a deal breaker for you, forget about it. You're in. You got to play. 4 p.m., 2 p.m., 11 a.m., and 7 a.m. See what I did there, Con? I went backwards.
Yeah.
Just in case there are any people listening that get confused easily. It started yesterday. It runs through June 13th. It's a great contest. And good luck, everybody. Hope you play. Hope you win. And thanks for listening. So right now we're going to get back to our guest, Rob Thomas. Rob, have you ever had anyone call you and or have you ever called anyone and it was the wrong number and they call you back?
I'm trying to understand what this is. So you have a wrong number.
I called someone, and I realized it was a wrong number. So I hung up after about three or four rings. They called me back. Hi, I just missed a call from this number. Like, they're like soliciting phone calls, which most of us are trying to avoid at all costs.
I think I've done that on occasion if it's a hang up. Like, but what I don't understand is if somebody goes, oh, I'm sorry, wrong number, and then you call them back, like, did you feel like you had a connection with them and you wanted to explore?
That's what I don't understand.
I don't know. There's some chemistry there. I don't know.
I feel like.
In general, if, you know, the less phone calls I have to deal with, the better.
Correct. And that's what I was saying. Like, I feel like people are bored. Hey, who is this? What'd you need? You know, I don't think anybody's that outgoing. Okay. Right before we did the news, Rob, you were about to give us your favorite Mission Impossible film of the franchise. I think that was a great, what they call in radio, teaser. So we would love to know what your, love to know.
I appreciate the time to think about my answer.
Sure.
So I would definitely say the sixth movie,
really?
Fallout, nice. Is my favorite. Yeah, I watched that so many times. I used to watch it on the elliptical, and then at the end of you could basically review the movie by my little EKG and like, oh, that's the car chase. And it's way up here. And, oh, that's when he's in the helicopter. That's way up there. You know, it's like
you're getting personal calls from Peloton. Hey, will you crush that workout? What were you?
Are you okay? Are you okay?
That's great.
Says here you're 56. You should be in that zone.
I'll have to give that a rewatch. I watched a lot of 7 leading up to this. I've watched a lot of 3.
Good.
3 is to me when the series really started crushing. Like when J.J. Abrams got involved and it was just this like nonstop movie, that's when I thought they just started escalating. But I got to give 6 another watch.
Yeah, I agree. 1 is a lot of fun. It's a different kind of movie, I think. It's 30 years old at this point.
Right.
2 is the one I think that nobody really likes. It's sort of a... Yeah, clunker. And 4 and 5 are fantastic as well. 4 is the one where he's hanging off the building in Dubai, which is still one of the greatest stunts I've ever seen. Yeah.
Yeah.
And
it's funny, like you mentioned when he broke his ankle, anybody who does not like Tom Cruise needs to watch that because I've seen internet videos on it when he jumps. I mean, I know he had a cable on him, but he was jumping, it looked like 30 feet building to building.
Yep.
And that's when he broke his ankle and he kept going in the scene. I mean, that's remarkable.
I know. He got out of the shot because he knew, like, I'm not going to be doing this for 6 months while my ankle heals. I better get it done now. So, no, it's, I mean, and the one, I mean, this movie, Final Reckoning, him and the biplane, like, that's insane. That's truly insane. Yeah.
I don't even know how they did it. He must have just, how real was that? I don't want to sound like a rube. I mean, I've been part of movies, but I don't know how they did that.
I've been watching little bits of behind the scenes clips coming out online. And I mean, a lot of it seems real. I mean, I think there was a pilot they kind of digitally erased when he's out on the wing. So it's not like he's in a out of control plane, but
right.
I think they shot it for like 4.5 months, just bits every day. And, you know, he's hanging upside. It's hanging upside. It's
unbelievable.
He needs to stop.
Sorry. 62. Yeah, exactly.
62. He needs to stop. Thank you, Tom.
Yeah. All right. So you did this great piece at CityCast Madison. And it's funny because I'm talking about how much I love Madison and it's been the number one city in America, like 7 out of the last 10 years, whatever it is. And you guys, your group there at CityCast Madison did a podcast talking about the city's toxic traits, which I don't often associate with such a great town, but you guys did not hold back. Can you tell us what the inspiration for that was and where people can find it?
Well, I think like any town you live in, you have these gripes, you know, even a seemingly perfect town like Madison, that like things that bug you. And there's something about sort of the ideal of Madison that bugs me even more when things happen. So yeah, we did a podcast where we all talked about our, you know, the things that bug us, and some are really big, like, you know, the city's racial inequities or the housing problem. And some are really little, like, you know, pedestrians, when they come to a crossing, don't press the button, like the walk button. And so it's like, you know, there's a lot of that I noticed because we also asked readers and listeners to come up with their toxic traits and the interactions between pedestrians, bikers, and cars came up a lot. It seemed like pedestrians not crossing the street, drivers not pulling over for emergency vehicles, which is also a real annoying thing.
Wow, really? Yeah, that is annoying. I didn't realize that was an issue there.
Yeah, and then the whole thing on the bike pass where somebody doesn't say on your left when they pass you.
Okay.
But then, like, sometimes if you stay on your left, then the people you pass will, like, freak out because they're so shocked. They're so caught off guard by somebody passing them. So it's like there's no win there. It was a super fun project we did, and I wrote an article that sort of sums up the listener gripes, and we had the podcast, and we could easily do another one, I think, Madison's Toxic Traits.
My guest is Rob Thomas. He is a Madison-based film critic. We're talking about an article that he wrote in CityCast Madison, where he is the editor, newsletter editor, about Madison's Toxic Traits. I have to say, I'm in lockstep with KDD. I don't know her, but why isn't there a train from Milwaukee to Madison? Why is the Amtrak 30 miles from Madison?
Yeah, it's a good question. And
I mean, honestly,
the previous governor might have the answer to that question, why there's not high speed rail between Milwaukee and Madison.
Yeah.
That is sort of nuts. Yeah.
We don't want high speed rail. Take your federal money and get out of here. That's a policy? Come on. I would love to have a train between Madison and Milwaukee.
I know, it'd be so great.
But she complained there were not enough public museums there, which I didn't realize. I thought Madison had great museums.
I thought so too. Yeah, that one surprised me a little bit. I think she had another really good point, which is that Madison does not take advantage of its lakes. A lot of the lakefront property is private, so there's very few restaurants or, you know, public parks. I know they're going to try and redevelop some of the lakefront, but I think that aside from the terrace, maybe the Edgewater, there is not enough places to gather on the lakefront.
That was interesting. Before we let you go, Rob, you also wrote a recent piece about all these new restaurants in Madison. Is that an anomaly, or are that many restaurants opening in Madison all the time? That's insane.
I it was slow for a little bit at the beginning of the year, and then it just seems like every day there's a new one being announced, a new one opening, new one closing, and then immediately they know what restaurant's coming in to take its place.
Wow.
It's just a very, you know, not a toxic trait. It's a very vibrant food scene. Yeah, there's lots to see.
And then the other thing I saw was that you had a donut place. You did a thing where Madison is upping its donut game, which I found funny. I didn't realize that needed to be done, but there's a place in Atwood you like, but you also did a piece on best indie venues, and there are like three of them in Atwood. What is happening? I mean, I know Atwood's a cool neighborhood, but like, man, is everything happening in Atwood these days?
It seems like it. On our podcast today, we were talking to the owner of this new Atwood Music Hall, which is such a cool space. And he also, Live Nation owns a lot of the venues in town, but there seems to be a lot of these grassroots indie venues coming up that, like, you know, prioritize local music and bands that could, you know, are just starting out. So it's really great. It's really healthy for our music scene, I think.
Well, enjoy your fair city tonight, Rob. Always fun to catch up with you, buddy, and talk movies and whatever else you guys are writing about there. Keep up the great work. And thanks so much for your time tonight.
Yeah, thanks, Pete. Good talking to you.
Anytime. All right. Rob Thomas, check out his work at CityCast Madison, or you can follow him on his Substack, Not That Rob Thomas. Do you know why that is his name, Conrad?
Well, there is another Rob Thomas out there.
There is, and he's not nearly as cool. He's probably a little richer, but...
Yeah, anyway. Yeah.
All right, our question of the night, you can still get in on the fun, folks, is what is your favorite Wisconsin city, excluding the one you live in? We've got Sydney from Oregon says, oh, did you see that? Are my levels good?
Yeah.
I love when listeners help out. Thank you, Sydney, for the thing about my mic, but I think we're good now. I hope so. And then we've got, let's see here, I got to catch up on these. Tyler from Wisconsin Rapids. Tyler, never apologize. I love your cheekiness. That's what makes you unique as a texter. It's awesome. He says, I'm sorry, Pete and Conrad, I wasn't thinking. I even think that's sarcastic, though. That's how well I know Tyler now. Conrad's mom checks in and says, Managua can walk anywhere you want to go. And the views are beautiful. They absolutely are. That is a great text, Paula. Thank you. We will read Carol's after the break. Great stuff, Carol. We'll read that. And we've got one from Bridget we'll get to, too, after a very short break here. And then we are going to bring in our pal Todd Michaels for some Lake Monster and vampire talk here on Nightlight with Pete Schwabe on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Eagle 1490 AM.
A game without a crowd is just a scrimmage. A performance without an audience is just a rehearsal. Without your presence, high school sports and the performing arts aren't possible. Ensure that these essential extracurricular activities continue to enrich the lives of students in Wisconsin. Purchase a ticket to your local high school's game or performance.
This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Lily Roberts, she is from the Center for American Progress Action Fund.
They're trying to pretend that this bill would be good for the working class because of this really small carve out to our tax laws. The no tax on tips piece does not at all even come close to addressing the problem of wages in this country. You know, a third of workers who work for tips in the first place don't make enough money to pay taxes at all.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekday afternoons 4 until 6 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
I'm Tony Goldwyn. As an actor and a director, I attend a lot of screenings. But there's one that's different. It's important, and it could save your life. A lung cancer screening. You know, I lost my mom to lung cancer when she was just 68 years old. Screenings help diagnose lung cancer early when it's most treatable, even curable. A quick low-dose CT scan is all it takes. GoTo for lung cancer is your go-to. Visit goto.org.
The Todd Albaugh Show.
Positive psychology coach Kira Sabin, it is great to have you back.
I love the idea of self-help, but there's also something called community help. We have become so divided, we've forgotten that our neighbor is really nice and has and makes great cookies and probably has the same concerns on a daily basis that you do. I think that we think things have changed, and I think we're just have stopped talking to each other.
Catch the Todd Albaugh Show at its new time, weekdays 2 to 4 on Civic Media and the Civic Media app.
You are listening to your local Civic Media radio station on air. Thank you. Did you know we are always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app too? And if you miss a show or game, find it wherever you get your podcasts or on our website, civicmedia.us.
As Wisconsin is brats on the grill for a tailgate, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to pre-recorded content. Mother.
There's too many of you crying. Brother, brother, brother.
Oh, man.
There's far too many of you crying.
Ladies and gentlemen, we just added Todd Albaugh to the show tomorrow night. How exciting is that?
That is very exciting.
Very exciting. When will he be on, Conrad? 720?
720, yes.
Fantastic. We're going to give Todd a quiz. Let's just see how smart our pal Todd Albaugh is. our question of the night, folks, is what is your favorite Wisconsin city that you don't call home? You have to take out of the equation your city and tell us your favorite Wisconsin city. Bridget from the 818 says Oshkosh. I have good childhood memories. Love the old houses, the university, the history, the natural beauty, and the restaurant Leon's. I've been to Leon's. That's good. They have what they call a juice burger, which is basically a sloppy Joe, but it's delicious. We will get to the rest of your texts, as promised, very soon. But right now, I'm very excited to welcome my next guest. He produces the Mino and the Mayor show here on WGBW and WISS every morning with, of course, John Mino and Jim Schmidt. And he is also, on the side, a paranormal investigator and a friend of Nightlight. Todd Michaels joins us now. Hey, buddy.
How are you, Pete?
I'm doing very well, thanks.
You mentioned Leon's. I'm literally a half block away from Leon's. I live right there.
Oh.
So it's difficult to be this close and not be there every day.
You know, those juice burgers they're so good, but they're so piping hot. It takes like a day and a half before you can eat them. They're so fresh and but oh my gosh, are they good. Yeah, I love that.
It's all about the turtle sundaes for me, period. I don't need to have regular food. I don't need burgers. I don't need any kind of sides. I just need a large turtle sundae. Then I'm done.
That's your calorie intake for the day, too. Probably put you over
for the week. Yeah, yeah, right. Exactly.
Todd, congrats are in order. Your city, Oshkosh, this is very exciting, was ranked out of 250 places to live. This came out last week. You may have already heard this, but Oshkosh came in 114th. Not too shabby.
It's not bad. I had this conversation with someone here. I was doing an interview earlier today in our Oshkosh studios at WISS, and somebody just joined the Discover Oshkosh team as their marketing director, or marketing coordinator, I should say. She grew up in Appleton, went to school at UW Oshkosh. She left. She was a Wienermobile driver for a while. So we had some great conversations about that. I wanted to learn like some of the skills you got to have to pull that off. But she came back to Oshkosh because she loves it so much. And I have to give a shout out to Oshkosh because it's a very underrated city.
Agreed.
And if you've never been, you've got to check it out. There are events all summer long here.
My wife, her mother grew up there and she went to school there. So when we started dating at the end of college, we did a long distance thing and I would go up there to visit her from Chicago. So I spent quite a bit of time there. And at that age in the bars, there was also a restaurant there I really liked. I don't think it's there anymore, but it was called Vitello's. It was an Italian joint.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. It's not there, right? I mean, I thought I haven't been to Oshkosh in a long time.
No, do you mean Vitali's or Fratello's?
I think it's Vitali's.
Yeah, Vitali's was great. I may have gone to like a prom dinner there or something like back in my day too, Pete.
A little calzone before you tear it up in the dance floor.
Yeah, there's nothing better than wearing a tuxedo and a little calzone in your cummerbund, you know?
Is that a calzone in your cummerbund? Or are you just happy to be at the... Would you like to slow dance? All right, so...
So I'm sitting there dance, slow dancing and like eating my leftovers at the same time.
What if you couldn't live in Oshkosh, though, Todd, where would you go in our fair state? So many nice cities.
I have to say, Madison's a really cool city, but I also love La Crosse. It is an awesome,
beautiful
city. You know, school out there and you're right on the river and just natural beauty out there left and right. So I think between Madison, La Crosse and Oshkosh, it's the best of all three worlds.
That's a great answer. Okay. So I want to get into lake monsters and vampires, but you texted me a little bit ago saying you're going to Gettysburg. We only have a couple minutes before break, so I'll save those other topics for after the news, but why is Gettysburg haunted, Todd? Or what have you heard?
Well, I mean, you had the big battles out there, right, with the Civil War and all that kind of stuff.
What?
There's some really? I mean, I've never been there. This will be the first time that I've gone and actually been able to vacation and also do a little investigating. But from what I've seen and what I've heard from people that I know and also watching other investigators, there's just crazy amounts of activity there.
Wow.
And one of the cool things that I've seen actually kind of played out in some investigations was they've done investigations in one area and had a interaction with some sort of entity or energy, and then went to another location down the street, across town, whatever, and had the same interaction with what seemed to be the same entity or energy, meaning that energy can move and follow you throughout that area. So I'm really looking forward to it.
Are you, and so you said you're going for vacation, but are you going to do some investigating while you're there? That's a vacation for you, right?
Absolutely. I'm going to do that. I'm going to shut off all the electrical appliances like the cell phones and other stuff too. But, I'm really looking forward to it. In fact, we're going to be also recording a season of podcasts while we're out there actually investigating and stuff like that. So really looking forward to the trip. First of all, I can't say anything more than just being really excited that I'll be away from Jim and John for at least a week. And the rest of you bozos, I'm just going to go have some fun, but I'm really looking forward to it.
Well, it's a well-deserved break for you, buddy. I'm excited for you. Are war places common, Todd, to have? Because of all the battles and stuff, I would imagine that's a hotbed of activity.
I mean, I think so. And you know, people will say, well, there's all that death there and all that. Certainly that's the case, but just think of all the energy it took to fight each other and trying to save lives. They would take old homes and turn them into makeshift hospitals and stuff like that. And I just think the amount of energy that went into fighting a cause probably kept a lot of that energy around. I actually heard some audio from a friend of mine. She was just out recording and out in the middle of nowhere, and she caught a battle cry on her audio. which, when she played it for me, I'm like, what is that? That sounds like something from an old movie. And so we actually looked it up and it seemed like it was actually a battle cry.
That is so cool. All right. Well, we will have more with Todd Michaels, our pal, paranormal investigator, after a very short break. Don't go anywhere, folks. We got a lot of show left. It's Peach Wabba and Nightlight on the Civic Media.
You're listening to The Eagle, WLCX, LaCrosse's home for Matt and Air on Air.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. President Trump's 50% tariffs on steel and aluminum imports kicking in at midnight. ABC senior White House correspondent Selena Wang with reaction.
You can imagine that our trading partners are not happy about this because he had paused those reciprocal tariffs to allow negotiations with other countries. But as we are having these trading talks with other countries, the president then upping tariffs on a critical trading good. So we are seeing this backlash.
Two Chinese nationals are accused of smuggling a potential agro-terrorism weapon into the country. It's a fungus known to kill crops and be harmful to humans and could have had disastrous effects on agriculture. The U.S.-backed Gaza Humanitarian Foundation that had been distributing aid in Gaza will pause operations today to get multiple mass shootings of Palestinian civilians trying to get food at aid centers or trying to figure out how to make it better. A search is underway in Washington State for Travis Decker, accused of murdering his three young daughters. This is ABC News.
The Packers meet with the media. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens in Green Bay, where the Packers held press conferences after another day of OTA practices. Lucas Van Ness saying it was difficult playing defensive end all last season after suffering a broken thumb in spring practice.
I wore a full cast all the way until about week 10 or 11, I'm not exactly sure, and then kind of had some lingering issues. So I wore it most of the season, which is kind of always limited to playing on just that right side of the defensive line. So I'm excited to get back and kind of have the ability to go and play on both sides again.
Baseball, the Brewers losing last night to the Reds 4-2. After the game, Pat Murphy got more bad news. Brandon Woodruff, out since September of 2023, was pitching in his final rehab stint in Nashville when the big right-hander was hit in the elbow by a comeback hit traveling 108 miles an hour.
He took a line drive off the elbow, right elbow. The x-rays are negative from what I understand, but we want to get him. We slime back and we'll get him the CT scan and get it all checked out.
That's Pat Murphy with Sports on Mike Clemens.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Peach Wabba. The King of the Hill actor who provided the voice for character John Redcorn has been killed in a shooting. TMZ reports that Jonathan Joss was found at the side of a road, shot several times. First responders tried life-saving measures, but pronounced him dead at the scene. Sources say Joss was shot by a neighbor after a disagreement. Police did track down the shooter within a few minutes. Joss played Redcorn from season 2 to season 13 of the hit animated show. Jonathan Joss was 59 years old. The Penguin's secret crush is no longer a secret. Danny DeVito had a good old-fashioned showbiz crush on Catwoman. The Twins star said when he was in Batman Returns, he had the hots for co-star Michelle Pfeiffer. DeVito sat down with Colin Farrell, also known for his role as the Penguin, on Variety's Actors on Actors podcast, where the two traded Batman stories. DeVito said Pfeiffer was his secret crush. DeVito says he lusted after her and loved her. Lucky girl. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Peach Wabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
We are going to be dealing with a little more of that wildfire smoke this morning, but it's gradually going to get out of here this afternoon, and we should get a break from that for a couple of days here. Mostly sunny this afternoon, mid to upper 70s. Tonight, partly cloudy, 52 tomorrow, sunshine with a high near 77. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Outside now, it's 53.
Matt and Air on Air.
Congressman Mark Pocan is here. Are you planning on going out on the road again? Having a couple more town halls?
Yes. No, Claire, Derek and I have been invited by Opportunity Wisconsin, so I'm really looking forward to debating Derek. My guess is it's more likely I will sprout a head full of hair than he will show up. This is important to let people know what's in this bill because there is a very good reason why Republicans are hiding from town halls.
Catch Matt and Air on Air at its new time, weekday mornings 9 to 11 on Civic Media and the Civic Media app. Mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
Hans Breitenmoser, we have people in Congress right now cutting food assistance.
All of it is a disregard for how the economy actually works. When you plant seeds in the ground, you get money close to the ground. That's what makes rural economies work. Urban economies are very similar in that regard. Washington is only as good as its participants, and we've got some real dandies there these days.
That's definitely one way to put it.
Catch Mornings with Pat Kreitlow at its new time, weekdays 6 to 9 on Civic Media and the Civic Media app. Pat Kreitlow.
On Wednesday mornings, we'll have our two weekly features. Our homeroom segment looks at current issues in public education, and Melissa Baldoff has our climate check.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, weekdays 6 to 9.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
Ladies and gentlemen, my name is Rich LoCascio. You're listening to Nightlight with Pete Schwabe. I would like to introduce to you the Pine Tree Mauler from Marinette, Wisconsin. He is Pete Schwabe!
Thank you, Rich LoCascio. Dynamite stuff. Hey, thanks for being here tonight, folks. We are barreling through a Tuesday night that feels like a Thursday night. With your help. So thanks for being here and all your texts and all kinds of fun. Did we lose Carol's texts, Conrad? What happened to those? Did she pull them? Can people pull their texts?
I don't think so.
Oh, they're there. Yeah. Okay. Carol says, in answer to our question, what is your favorite Wisconsin city that you don't live in? Carol says, hi, Pete and Conrad. I live in Madison now. I went to college in Eau Claire, lived in Wausau for a couple of years. My aunt and uncle lived in La Crosse and love Eagle River and Rhinelander, too. Bayfield is wonderful, Door County vibe, but fewer tourists, Minnesota license plates instead of Illinois. I'd rather go to Bayfield than Door County. Carol unloaded on that text. That's awesome. Thank you, Carol. And then Nick from Marshall says, love Dane County, especially the Madison and Sun Prairie area. Other than that, I kind of like the Oshkosh and Appleton area. People love their state. What are you going to do? We also don't like to miss a text here on Nightlight. And last night, our question was, what is your favorite game show? And our pal, Rich LoCascio, who just intro'd me there, said, Press Your Luck, which I barely remember. I remember the title. Todd, do you remember Press Your Luck?
My gosh, are you kidding me? This is how much I love Press Your Luck. I got to find it, but and maybe you can't even hear this, but I can try.
Okay.
Let's see. Oh, can you hear that?
Yes,
right?
I do.
No whammies, no whammies, and stop.
You have that at the ready?
Well, yeah, I'm a radio geek, and I happen to like game shows, so I got a lot of stuff. I've got the theme for Pyramid.
Whoa.
I got everything.
That Press Your Luck. I don't really go here very often on this show, but that would be great music. That would complement an orgasm really well, I think. But can we hear that one more time, Todd?
All right, hang on.
Okay, honey.
All right. No whammies, no whammies, and stop.
Well, not that's kind of a anticlimactic ending. It would have to be a whammy.
Do you know the whole story behind that game show? What happened with it?
No, I don't.
Well, I know we were talking about spooky stuff tonight, but a guy was sitting at home watching the show for weeks and weeks. He was unemployed. I can't remember the guy's name, but he figured out that the little lights went in a certain sequence. And when it would always land on one specific square, there was always $1,000 or $3,000 in a spin. And he figured out what that was. He ran the entire table for an entire episode. Wow. And the producers are sitting back going, oh, my God, he figured this out. And they had to cancel the show because of this one guy.
That is spectacular.
Yeah.
I love that. I wish I had that capability.
I wish I had any capabilities.
I know. I'd love to, just something I could monetize. I don't care what it is.
Right.
Todd Michaels is here, folks. He's the Mino and the Mayor producer in the morning here at WGBW and WISS. He joins us periodically to talk about fun paranormal stuff because that is his side hustle. He is a paranormal PI. And Todd, I'd like to get into lake monsters, but also vampires. So I don't know. You have a theory about vampires I'm more interested to hear. So why don't we start there just in case we run out of time or something? I would love to hear your thoughts in general on vampires, and then you do as much of a deep dive as you want. I'd love to hear your theory as to why. I think you said why they might be real or could be.
I think they might be. Now, first of all, you saw Sinners. Is that right?
I did, yeah.
And you liked it.
Loved it.
What was so good about it?
Well, I mean, what was great about it was not necessarily that it was a vampire movie. It was just great movie making. It was like Ryan Coogler is an incredible filmmaker. The music, the costumes, it was a period piece. And Michael B. Jordan played twins, Smoke and Stack. I love the ties to the Chicago mob. Then they go back down south with stolen mob stuff to set up a gin joint in the country. Everything about it was just cool. And then the vampires come in and they had to adhere to all these rules. And I wanted to ask you about that too, the rules that vampires have to follow. But I just thought it was great, a great movie top to bottom.
So what are some of the rules that they had to follow? Do you remember?
Yeah, the big one is they had to be invited in, like to the gin joint. You know, I know typically vampires don't like daylight. Depending what the movie is, sometimes they burn alive if they're out. Other times they just have burns. In this particular film, there were three people that had burns. So they obviously were exposed to some sunlight, but that was one of them. And then the stake through the heart, I think, was in play. Garlic, kind of the basics. But I had forgotten about the one where vampires had to be invited in and they couldn't just go in.
Yeah, I do like vampires. Excuse me. I'm not sure. You know, I can't sit here and say I believe in them, but I do think that there's a lot of lore behind it. And I'm also a firm believer that we as humans can only imagine bad things that are possibilities. So that's kind of like my entry into vampires. I've had a long time interest in them since I was little. Tell you a little bit about my mom. She would let us watch the spookiest vampire movies. And like, I was like 4 or 5, right? Stuff your mom shouldn't let you do. And then if I know one of my sisters is watching tonight. We would lay up all night scared half to death. I didn't sleep between the ages of like 7 and 15 because I was certain that something was going to come get me. But I've had this interest in vampires for a long, long time. And I have this inkling that there may be some truth to it. And maybe it's just a romantic kind of view of what it would be like to be, you know, to live forever in the darkness, on the dark side, all that kind of stuff. But there certainly are plenty of stories throughout the ages about vampires and all that kind of stuff. So pretty interesting topic for me.
Very cool. And that was something in Sinners too. In fact, I've said this before on the show, but if you do go see Sinners, you have to stay through the credits to really see the last scene. I don't know why they did that. It was a strange choice in my opinion, but they show you scenes of blues music. The story kind of goes up to Chicago again, and there's blues music. And then there's a scene, and one of the vampires said that day, talking about the final scene in the regular part of the movie before the credits, he said, "That day was the best day of my life and the last time I saw the sun." And it was just as great. And then they walk out of the joint and it was so, just stuff you forget about vampires. Like whoever created that entire, not genre, but their existence or fantasized about it really created a really kind of a fascinating creature, I guess.
And there are certainly some over-the-top bad vampire movies out there.
Yeah.
Even Interview with a Vampire isn't... I think the book is good. I'm not sure that Tom Cruise was the right choice for Lestat. But that was an interesting movie. Mm-hmm. My favorite, Salem's Lot. Okay. Oh, like the original back with David Soul from Starsky and Hutch. Remember that?
Right. Wow.
That was a made for TV like miniseries. But when the Glick boys become vampires and they're floating outside the window, right? They come up to the window and they're scratching on the window.
Oh, man.
There's nothing creepier than that right there.
Right.
Open up. I'm here.
That was in Salem's Lot.
That was Salem's Lot, yeah.
Oh, I may have to rewatch that. I'll tell you, even it was kind of a, I think it's Anne Rice that did the Twilight, or was that? No, that was Interview with a Vampire.
She did Interview, yep.
But Twilight had some cool stuff about it, I thought. I liked how they just kind of assimilated into the high schools and they were part of the population. Like that I found fascinating.
It was Twilight was the One Tree Hill of vampire. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I mean, that's great.
Remember all those angst, teenage angst TV shows that were on? That's kind of where they, I think they kind of spent off with Twilight.
That's excellent. My guest is Todd Michaels. He produces the Mino and the Mayor show here at WGBW and WISS every morning. And he joins us periodically to talk about the paranormal, because he's a paranormal investigator. And it's always fun to talk to you about this stuff, Todd. Of all the myths, or whatever you want to call them, ghosts, vampires, werewolves, lake monsters, which we'll segue to, what do you think is most likely of those things to be real or exist?
Well, did you throw ghosts in that mix?
I did.
I think that those are most likely to exist. Only because I've actually run into some of that kind of stuff. So I've actually had experience with it. I've not had experience with lake monsters or anything like that. And I'm not, you know, knock on wood, run into a vampire. So for me, it would definitely be the ghost or paranormal side when it comes to the afterlife.
Can I don't disagree with you not knowing a fraction of what you know about that, but I would like to add lake monsters, because I feel like, and not just lake monsters, but sea creatures, like the seas are so vast, 7/10 of the earth, so deep. I know there's stuff we haven't really explored down there. I feel like that's where most likely, at least out of the things I just mentioned, something could be alive that we haven't discovered yet, if that makes sense.
Absolutely. And even some stuff that we do know that exists, like sturgeon, right? Those things are massively huge in some cases. I was going over some of the information that you and I shared with each other. And Lake Winnebago here in Oshkosh has its own monster from the past. 1889, the capture of a large sea lion. Apparently had gotten out during an exotic animal tour. And to me, I think you're right, because it's kind of like outer space. We've gone there to a certain extent, but there's certain areas that we cannot get to. And so we only know what we can actually experience. So the possibilities of things in the water, in the sky, are probably, you know, mind-blowing if we ever actually found out what was all there.
Right. I don't know. I feel like I've mentioned this before on the show. I don't know if it was with you or someone else or a different guest, but speaking of underwater creatures, the Greenland shark is something I didn't even know existed until about a year and a half ago. They live to be 500 years old.
Good Lord.
And there was a picture of one on, you know, social media somewhere, and it looked beat to hell. This thing was like, they move like less than a mile an hour. They live for 500 years. There are Greenland sharks, you know, swimming very slowly, that were around before George Washington was born. That, to me, is an absolute phenomenon.
I wonder what they think of where our country is now, knowing George Washington back in the day and, you know, having lived through the Civil War and all that. I would just wonder what the sharks of Greenland actually think.
That sounds like a paranormal investigation, I think, that needs to be.
I'm out there with a microphone doing an investigation.
Using sonar to hear what the shark says.
That's right.
So there's a great, where was it? Oh, the Lake Winnebago water monster.
Yeah,
this came out in 2020 in the Oshkosh Northwestern and explained that the Lake Winnebago creature sightings originated with stories from the Ho-Chunk people. And apparently one was captured in 1889. That's the one you're talking about. I'm sorry. The large sea lion.
The large sea lion. Okay. Yeah.
So I have another one here from, is it Rocky? No, Rocky the Lake Monster. I thought there were two in, are we out of time, Conrad?
We got under a minute now.
Don't you know I'm talking about Tigerland sharks?
I'm sorry.
You're thinking of Rocky and Rock Lake, right?
Rocky and Rock Lake. That's in Lake Geneva, though. What do you know about that, Todd?
Just again, it's some sort of creature that apparently was flipping over boats and stuff like that, and bringing people under the water. I mean, what else could that be other than like just us drinking too much in Wisconsin and losing our balance in the canoe and having to come up with a story of why you fell in, you know?
I'm not ruling that out. All right, we'll have a couple more minutes with Todd when we come back after a very short break. Don't go anywhere, but anybody. We're going to wrap this up next. This is Pete Schwab and Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network.
I talk to you in the night, in the dream.
Come work with us. Civic Media has a number of great jobs across the state. Open now at civicmedia.us/careers.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. President Donald Trump recently announced pardons to a range of individuals, including convicted drug dealers, fraudsters, and convicted public officials. ABC News reports 1 in 5 have political or financial ties to the president. Scott Jenkins, a former Culpeper County, Virginia sheriff, had been sentenced to 10 years for taking $75,000 in bribes in exchange for issuing deputy sheriff's badges. Jenkins had been a longtime Trump supporter. Ardent Trump acolyte Michelle Fiore had not yet been sentenced when she received her pardon on April 23rd. A former member of the Nevada Assembly, she was convicted of 6 counts of wire fraud for skimming money from a memorial for a slain Las Vegas police officer. She used the money for rent, plastic surgery, and her daughter's wedding. Former Illinois Governor Rod Blagojevich was pardoned in February after endorsing Trump's 2020 and 2024 campaigns. Blagojevich appeared on Trump's Celebrity Apprentice in 2010, but was convicted in 2011 of attempting to sell President Barack Obama's vacated U.S. Senate seat, among other corruption charges. Former Kentucky State Senator and 2016 congressional candidate Brian Kelsey served only 2 weeks of a 21-month sentence on federal campaign finance violations before he was pardoned in March. We have a full list of Trump's pardons at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian.
The Todd Allbaugh Show.
We are not perfect here at Civic Media. Far be it. Certainly not perfect at this show. But one thing I can assure you of, our owner that I can see right through this glass right now, Sage Weil, has never once told me what to say and encourages us to speak the truth. And that's why, above all else, I'm proud to work for this company. And along with my colleagues, we will bring you what's really happening out there. And if we get it wrong along the way, we'll admit to that and correct ourselves as well.
Catch the Todd Allbaugh Show at its new time, weekdays 2 to 4 on Civic Media and the Civic Media app. The Maggie Dawn Show.
Michael Negron of the Small Business Majority.
You know, the Trump administration thinks that they're doing a solid for small business with their policies. And so having business owners out there talking about how, whether it's tariffs, whether it's potential cuts to health care, how it's going to hurt their bottom line, how it's going to hurt their consumers or their employees. I do think that will have a real impact. Every time he does something, he gets really bad feedback and he retreats in the face of it.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekday afternoons, 4 until 6 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Here's the deal. We gotta set ourselves up. See, retirement is the long game. We gotta make moves and make them early. Set up goals. Don't worry about a setback. Just save up and stack up to reach them. Let's put ourselves in the right position. Pre-game to greater things.
Start building your retirement plan at thisispretirement.org. Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
As Wisconsin as a game of cribbage with good friends, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
Welcome back. This is Nightlight. I am Pete Schwabba. We are doing Tuesday some serious justice here today, folks. Great to have you with me. We have a great show tomorrow night as well. Chicago-based stand-up comedian Brian Hicks will be here, and our pal Todd Allbaugh, host of the Todd Allbaugh Show here on Civic Media. We're going to give Todd a quiz. We haven't figured out exactly what that quiz will be, but it's going to be a doozy, folks, so you won't want to miss that. Right now, we have a few more minutes with our pal Todd Allbaugh. Todd Michaels, who is here. Todd is a paranormal investigator help me, Todd. I am breaking down here.
Are you okay?
Very exhausted.
Are you okay?
No, I'm tired. I don't know what was going on in the hotel room next to mine last night, but it was
they were playing Press Your Luck is what was going on.
But it didn't end with a wah wah wah. I'll tell you that.
That's right.
They knew what they were doing. So anyway, Todd is the producer of Mino and the Mayor. So, all right, Todd, so before we let you go, these two lake monsters were cool, and they're both in the Madison Lakes. There was one in Mendota and one in Monona.
Yeah.
Sea serpent-type things. And that I can believe. They look like long snakes, right? That's believable.
I would think, I mean, there's got to be some sort of eels and stuff like that in those lakes. I just think it's interesting that the city of Madison is smack dab in the middle of the two lakes, and they have these sea monsters on either side. That is interesting.
That is interesting. And maybe they could cross. There's got to be some kind of tunnel in there or something. But one of them was white with green spots. So that might, you know, that might be sort of what you were saying, people seeing things after a few pops or something.
Right.
But anyway, good stuff. So you'll have to tell us when you come back. We would love to have you on after you get back from Gettysburg and see what you found out there. That sounds absolutely fascinating.
I'm really excited about it. I love history. I've never been there. It seems ridiculous to me, but going to take the 16-hour drive out to Pennsylvania and see what we can find. I have to tell you something. Yeah. Being a guest on your show goes way too fast. Being a producer, and Conrad probably knows this, you sit through those segments and you're like, when is this done? And then when I'm on the show with you, it goes so quickly, I couldn't even believe that the show's done already.
Conrad checks his watch 14 times per minute. Just how much time do we have left here? And here you are saying, you're saying that you're enjoying yourself.
So I'm having a great
happy
time.
Happy about that, Todd. Well, you're always fun, buddy. I hope you have a great vacation and keep up the great work in the morning here with the guys. And just have a great night. So much fun as always.
You too. See you, Pete.
Thanks, Todd.
See you, Conrad.
Man, the beard is coming in great again. Oh, he's still on. I'm not saying anything bad about you. I meant to mention that at the top of the show, though. I didn't know if you were going to bring it back or not, to be honest with you.
I've just been kind of lazy and haven't been trimming the hair or the beard. But this is like 2 weeks.
Come on.
I'm serious.
Wow. That's impressive.
You should see my back. You should
see
my back.
Did you go through puberty at like 7? What the hell's going on?
I'm still going through it.
I'm looking forward to mine. All right. Now you got to get out of here. Thanks so much, Todd. Have a great night. All right. Thank you to Todd Michaels. Thank you to Rob Thomas and all your texts and calls. Always fun here at Nightlight, folks. We'll be back to do it all again tomorrow. We got Steady Eddie text.
Yes, we do. I was just about
to say. How
do
you like that?
Yeah.
How dare I almost close the show before we get to a Steady Eddie
with
text.
4 minutes left.
Yeah, we're a little... Boy, I was off before, too. I got cut off. I'm not with it. Steady Eddie says, Pete, favorite city in Wisconsin? The Sun Prairie of 65 years ago. It's where I grew up. Looking back, it was like growing up in a Norman Rockwell painting. Its population is much bigger now, around 35,000. It's still a good place to live, but unfortunately, I think it has lost a lot of its small-town charm. I think he's right. I think it's more like a suburb right now. It's a nice place to live still, though. He says, I still get good vibrations when I go back to visit Sun Prairie, but it just ain't the same. Pete, you mentioned Des Plaines, Illinois. 2 years ago, I spent a week there one night. Steady Eddie getting in a little jab at Des Plaines. Steady Eddie hits all the big spots.
I spent a week there one night?
Yeah, I think he's saying... Well, that would be he was bored. No, he was saying he packed a lot of stuff into one night. That typically means like you really did it upright.
Okay.
And if you say like, I spent a day there 1 month, it's like the comic that says, folks, I've got 5 minutes of material and I'm going to pack it all into a 45-minute set.
Okay. Kind of yeah, thing. I get it. Nice text, Steady Eddie.
Exactly. Thank you for all your texts and calls as usual. Do we have time for Dana Carvey now?
It'll cut it close.
Let's squeeze it. Well, yeah. Is it a minute? I don't want to be rushed.
We should, how about the second segment tomorrow? We bring that in full force.
All right. We got to play that other one too. And tomorrow night, we have to figure out a quiz for Todd. Maybe we give him a Wisconsin City quiz. He's lived in a lot of different places. Todd was in politics. I know he worked for Dale Schultz, a Republican, congressman or assemblyman here in Wisconsin.
I mean, he's been all over Wisconsin too. There's always
he might know
a geography quiz in there.
That's true too. We could do that too. We'll figure something out. Vicky on the stream says, great show. Thank you, Vicky. How did she do that, Conrad? That's kind of a cool little graphic.
Oh, that's me.
Are you? Oh, you did that. How did you do that? Is that like AI?
Everything's AI with you now.
I know. You put a poster of a sea serpent
It's Nessie.
Nessie looks like a stick in the water. And I'm not saying Nessie doesn't exist, but it's basically Nessie looks like kind of a harmless, almost friendly creature. And you put this Jurassic Park thing that looks like it wants to bite you in half.
Well, did you see what I put under it? I said I thought he was more of a gentle creature.
Yeah, exactly. All right, so we got a lot more coming up tomorrow night, folks. It'll be fun. Thank you to Todd Michaels. Thank you to Rob Thomas. Thank you for all your texts and calls. Another wonderful night here at Nightlight with Pete Schwabe, and I couldn't have done it without you folks. On behalf of the lovable producer Conrad, I'm Pete Schwabe saying goodnight, Wisconsin.
Soaring high above La Crosse, this is Eagle 1490 AM WLCX La Crosse, and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. President Trump's 50% tariffs on aluminum and steel imports kicking in at midnight. The U.S. facing pushback from trading partners, including the European Union, which is warning of countermeasures. The Steelworkers Union in Canada also says this amounts to a direct attack on Canadian jobs. The Justice Department says two Chinese nationals are accused of smuggling a fungus into the U.S. that is known to kill crops and make humans sick. The two allegedly receiving Chinese government funding research, says ABC News contributor Steve Ganyard.
Best case would be that they were just researchers being paid by the Communist Party to come to the U.S., use our extraordinary research facilities to do work on things that they could take back and potentially use for their own use back in China.
The family of the man accused in the Boulder firebomb attack is now in custody and facing deportation. And Elon Musk is bashing the new budget bill on social media, calling it a disgusting abomination because of how expensive it is. This is ABC News.